All right, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by my good friend William Wilson over at the Hammonds Group. If you're looking for real estate here in the state of Tennessee, do not look any further than my good friend William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. And now I say good friend, I mean we really are good friends. You can look up pictures of us on the internet, drunk as shit together. Like, we really are friends. But now we're both very responsible adults. Both of us are fathers. So if you're looking for some real estate here in the state of Tennessee, give him a call, 615-216-4089, or hit him up online at WilliamWilsonHomes.com. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today is mental health advocate Akia Red. Like me, Akia suffers from anxiety, so if you or someone you love is an anxiety sufferer, tap in. You're going to love this episode. And if you live your life anxiety-free, fuck you. What do you think? You're better than me? Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, Giddy. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 5 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today is mental health advocate Akia Red. Akia, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. One thing that you and I share in common is I believe you have anxiety. You suffer from anxiety, or at least at one point in your life you suffer anxiety that kind of brought you on the...
I still suffer.
I do too. And you've done a lot of work around trying to cure your suffering. So let's get into your story. Like, where did you begin? At what point did you say, I have anxiety and something needs to be done about this?
Yeah. So I've been doing what I do now as far as the advocacy work for the last 4 years. However, I think that I was always somebody who had anxiety, and I think depression kind of snuck in a little bit later. I like to call them twins. They definitely hold hands. It's, you know, very common to experience one with the other. And so for me, 4 years ago, it had reached a point where I don't think I could suppress any more of what I had, you know, went through in my childhood. I talk very candidly about growing up as a preacher's kid, my identity kind of being forced upon me to be this certain way. Then I meet my husband, who was an NBA player, and that was a whole other life. And so for me, there was a lot that was layered on that ultimately caused me to just break down. And so 4 years ago, I had a breakdown and decided that something had to be done. And so I decided to start, you know, going to therapy on a regular basis, taking my medication, doing all the things really. And that's kind of what, you know, has evolved into what I do now.
For people that are listening right now and aren't really familiar with anxiety, because I honestly didn't know I was an anxious person until my wife kind of pointed it out. And I'm like, God, I am anxious a lot, literally all the time, right? Like, what are some of the symptoms?
I think I started having symptoms way before it got bad. Like, I think 4 years ago, it got really bad. And I would never recommend that anybody wait until it gets really bad. So like, right, the things I would start to focus on is like, nervousness is cool. Like, that's your body's response. You know, it's normal to be nervous, or, you know, a little bit anxious even for certain things like a big test, or you've got like some interview going on. I mean, those are normal things. When it starts to become a problem is when it's impacting your everyday life. So basically, you get caught up in this spiral in your mind of like ruminating on the future. What if this happens? Well, what if that happens? What if this happens? And then the thought of you being out of control literally paralyzes you to the point where you are just obsessing. And that's where I started to get to the point where I had a couple health scares. And even though they turned out okay, that waiting period for the test results you kind of spiral and you start going to Dr. Google and you start, you know, you're going to die and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And so for me, it just turned into this full on, like, I'm about to die in 3 months. I got to get my affairs in order. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like all of that. And my body couldn't take anymore. So on top of what I had been through in my past and then what I was presently going through, I started focusing so much on the future to the point where my body was just like, all right, well, I'm about to shut down. And so I started trembling, crying uncontrollably. I mean, I just couldn't catch a break. I remember trying to do my little girl's pigtails and my hands were shaking so badly to where like I had to just call my mom over to help me because there was no way that I could function. And so it didn't matter what activity I was doing. Everything was hard. Everything was making me anxious and on edge. So that was pretty much the symptoms that I had.
It's always, at least for me, it's always cognitive dissonance that brings me to those places, right? Like my boss will cancel a meeting and I'll be like, well, I'm obviously getting fired today. You know what I'm saying? Like I've been here 20 years. It's like, I got to bring myself back. Like, all right, calm down. Like right. He canceled a meeting. It could literally be anything. Everything is fine. You know, you got to take those breaths. When you find yourself in those places now, what are some of the practices that you do to relieve yourself of the anxiety? Because I feel like, I don't know that you can necessarily get rid of those thoughts. You just have to learn to react to them in a more positive way than just going down the rabbit hole of the worst possible scenario.
Yeah. So like what I like to talk about and tell people is that, you know, you always have to make sure that you train your mind to stay in the present. Because if you go too far in the future, you're going to have anxiety. If you live in the past, you're going to be depressed. Either one of those places is no bueno, right? So we got to stay present and we got to focus on where we are right now and what's in front of us, like right what we're staring at. And so for me, what I have done, it's really cool you asked me this because I've been talking to a lot of people about when I'm anxious, I tend to have so much on my mind. But guess what? It's not as much as I think because when I actually take out a piece of paper or my phone or whatever's handy and I start typing in the notes of like everything that's on my mind, it's like 10 things. But in my mind, it feels like it's 100 things. And so for me, that is one of the most grounding exercises that I practice on a regular basis. The other thing that I have done in the past, and it does work, is when I'm like, oh my God, like, why did I just say that? Like, because I think a lot of times when I over-ruminate over something stupid that I said before, I keep thinking about that stupid thing. Everybody could be like, oh, that was so great. And I'm like, oh, but I said this. And I keep thinking about, oh, but I said this. So what I start doing at that point is I'll go somewhere and do like jumping jacks, push-ups. Mm. Is what you know, you get that, your nervous system involved a little bit. And so immediately, like, you can't think of nothing else but those push-ups,
right?
Those jumping jacks. So writing it out, getting your body to move. And then I just would say in general, like me being someone who's not afraid to kind of cry it out. Sometimes there are times when I just really need to just let my emotions be what they are. And if I'm feeling sad and I feel like I haven't let myself sit in that, then I'll just let myself sit in there for a few and just take it as it is.
I looked on your Instagram today. I think you were talking about having difficult conversations. Is that tough for you? Because it's tough for me. My wife is like the complete opposite. Like she can have a difficult conversation and then like go on about the rest of her day. She's not gonna like sweat over it beforehand and she's not gonna like be affected by it afterwards. And like for me, like if I have a difficult conversation that I know is coming in like 3 days, it's like 3 days of hell. Like I'm not gonna sleep and I'm just gonna have that feeling in the pit of my stomach and this the whole thing. Are you able to have difficult conversations or are you more like me or more like my wife?
I'm a mix of both of you. For example, I had to have a difficult conversation yesterday with somebody. I thought about it a whole 2 days before and I was super nervous beforehand like you. But what I remembered when I was actually in the conversation was I was clear, I was honest, and I stayed calm and controlled. So at the end of the day, in that conversation, I showed up exactly the way I wanted to show up. So then when I got done with the conversation, I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm good. Like, I showed up the way I wanted to. So I think beforehand, what makes me nervous is like, okay, oh my God, what am I going to say? Am I going to remember everything? I don't want to write it down because I don't want to sound scripted. And so that's what I think about. But I think ultimately, once it's over, I think if you like remember remain in control of your emotions at all times and you realize that most of the time the conversation is going to be more so for you, you know, and your growth, and you keep that at the forefront of your mind, at the end of it, you should be able to be cool.
I think it takes me maybe an hour to recover from a difficult conversation, right? But I do feel the sense of, okay, this is over. I feel better now. I can move on about my life and about my day. But leading up to it, man, it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it was agonizing. All yesterday, all day, I literally was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, am I going to remember to say, should I write this all out? I mean, I literally had a texting conversation with one of my friends going over the whole thing. So I feel you on that.
I know I asked the question about being in the moment and to not go too far down an anxiety rabbit hole, but what do you practice to say so you don't get as anxious as you maybe normally would?
I mean, listen, I'm a firm believer in meditation, prayer, and a prescription. That's what I use. I mean, straight up, like I do all the things. I mean, all the things. I meditate, I pray, I take medicine, I exercise, whatever that looks like. I go somewhere and sit down if I don't feel like being bothered. I take a nap. Whatever it is at that moment that I feel like I need. But I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is that points to this one thing is I focus in on what does Akia need today in order for her to stay grounded, to stay calm. If I can do the 1, 2, 3 things to honor myself that day, to keep myself sane and to keep myself calm, we're not going to have any issues.
Right.
It's when I neglect those things that I start getting anxious and having issues.
I feel like that always, for me at least, starts with sleep. Like if I'm always way more anxious on a night that if I got 2-3 hours of sleep, like I'm somebody that can function with no sleep just because I spent many years DJing like clubs and then coming into work the next day. So like I can function with no sleep, but I'm not functioning very well. Like, you know what I mean? Like I might not snap off on somebody, but I'm hard on myself when I haven't had any sleep. And so I think it always for me, if I get a good night's sleep, I know that I'm not going to be as anxious as I was the day before if I had 3 hours of sleep. So I know for me, it's always sleep. I don't know if that's the same for you, but sleep, it plays a huge role in my life.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes if I'm in a situation where I want to say it was last week when all this foolishness happened.
Yeah.
When all of that happened, I was just like, this is so funny. I got myself dressed because I was trying to pull myself out of it, you know, go shopping, go to the grocery store, whatever. I literally was dressed by the door and I was like, nope. I ain't doing it. I took my shoes off. I took my coat off. I literally went and laid down somewhere and took a 2-hour nap because I was just like, you know what? I'm not about to force myself to go out here and do something that I could probably do tomorrow. I'm not feeling this. Like I need to go somewhere and go to sleep because right now my mind is not clear. Like I'm so frustrated with everything around me. The crazy part about it is that we've got the pandemic. We've got all this insurrection stuff. And then for those of us who are people of color, Black, we've got that whole layer of it. And then us who are vulnerable with mental health challenges already. So you've got all of those things already layered on top of what we already struggle with on a regular basis. So it could be really overwhelming right now. I just say, man, honor yourself.
I find for whatever reason in chaotic situations like last Wednesday, I find peace in that. And I am able to watch that nonstop. I'm only focused on one thing. My anxiety is down. And I think it's probably because I only had one thing to focus on. And it was that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the known versus the unknown, right? Like if you were to put me and you in a situation where we don't know what's happening, that might freak us out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you see it and you know what's happening, you know what the facts are, I think that people with anxiety maybe react a little better to factual stuff, you know? So I really do, because I think that really anxiety at the core of it is the fear of not having control and the unknown. So if you have the facts in front of you, it's like, okay, cool. It's the unknown part that kills you.
It's funny that you say that, because I always say that there are positives to being an anxious person. I've never been late for, I don't think, anything in my entire life. I'm probably the most punctual person you'll ever meet in your life. And I wish I could be late sometimes. Like, I can't do it. I have to be on time. If I'm not on time, if I feel like I'm running behind schedule, like, that's when I'm at my absolute worst. Like, if I'm feeling pressed for time is probably when I'm the worst version of myself. But anxiety keeps me punctual. There are some positive parts of my personality that come from an anxious place, I think.
No, it's true. And I think we are very socially aware.
Yeah.
That's enough. You know what I mean? Like, there are some things that, you know, people who are anxious are more self-conscious, but also there's a self-awareness that comes with that too, where you're like, I want to make sure I say this the right way because I don't want this person. Like, we've already thought of every scenario beforehand. We've already thought about five different ways that this person can perceive what I'm going to say. We practiced it. It really, like, our margin for error is pretty low when it comes to that kind of thing. It's more so the unknown things, or, like, you know, when we're not on time. I am just like you, the worst version of myself. Like, I like sweating, stomach hurt, like, just like, oh my gosh, this is not something that I don't want to do this. This is not who I am.
Yeah. I'm learning slowly to kind of calm myself down, take those breaths, and just be like, hey, you're going to get to work. You're going to get everything done. It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? And constantly talking myself off the cliff.
Yes. We have to be our own cheerleader. We have to be our own safe place. We just have to be our own little, you know, place of refuge, as I like to call it.
For an anxious person to live in a perfect world, what do you think that looks like? Like, what would never get you anxious again?
I'm always asking for it. Now you're asking me to tell you, and I can't describe it. You know what? I just wish that I could be a go with the flow. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is cool, like, lay back, easy, chill. So I don't necessarily think that I say that anything around me has to change. I think it's more so internally. I'm like, man, like, I wish I could just not care. Like, I wish I could just not care what people are doing or what, you know, so-and-so is thinking about me. I wish I had that liberty to just blow stuff off. So I think in a perfect world, if I could blow stuff off and just have an I don't care attitude, that would be amazing.
Everything seems to will affect you in some way. And like, I've been doing radio for like 20 years now, right? And like, at the beginning, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram. And so, like, if somebody thought that you sucked, they would have to, like, actually get through the request line, call you and be like, you suck. And you're like, all right, whatever. But now, like, there's Twitter and there's, like, people that can tell you that you're trash whenever they feel like telling you that you're trash. And so, like, I've actually learned to be able to look at those. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, like, I look at it, I take it in. And I'm like, all right, not everybody's going to think you're good at what you do. That's okay. Or you can go back and forth with them, which gets you literally nowhere in life, but more anxious. So it's...
Oh my gosh. It gets me. So I have that. I have a real, I'm anxious and I'm a flight person, but I also have a hot temper. I will typically just, like, block the person and just, but the problem with that, looking at those comments, is that I literally will keep rehearsing it in my head and keep stewing over it. And then in my mind, like, I should have said, and you don't even just having this whole conversation with somebody who I don't even know. Like, and I care. I usually try not to read too many of the comments unless they're positive. And I really do try to limit my social media interaction as much as possible. Like, I kind of show up on there and make appearances and do what I do. But as far as, like, all that other stuff, like, I'm good on that.
If you get into those arguments, I mean, you'll waste half a day before you even look up. You know what I mean? And you're like, yes. You're like, half my day is gone. And it's just not worth it. Like, it's never... Yeah. It doesn't bear any fruit. It's just never worth it.
I can't even imagine, like, how it is on Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter, like, actively. I think I might have an account, but I don't even use it. I shut down unpublished my Facebook page because of that very reason you're talking about. Like, here I am, Black woman, doing something positive for everybody, and y'all have something to say about, like, whatever, like, always. Like, go talk about somebody else. Why are y'all picking on me?
And then, like, look at the topics that you're tackling. You're out there putting yourself out there to say, look, I'm an anxious person. These are the things that trigger my anxiety, blah, blah, blah. And then people are like, you know what? I'm going to fucking trigger her anxiety right now. Let me type this message to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just takes a really kind of shitty person to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just like,
I think just in general, like, I'm a much happier person not being on Facebook, not having the app on my phone. Instagram, like, I love, you know, checking that and interacting, you know, there. But again, still, even with that, there's so many things there that just like, this is absolute trash.
Before I met my wife, I had never even heard the word boundary when dealing with people, but she's very big on setting boundaries. And our parents didn't teach us boundaries. We're teaching our child boundaries, but like, I didn't know what a boundary was. And most people don't know what boundaries are. And if you don't know what boundaries are, you're not going to have them, and you're not going to practice having boundaries, be it in an online platform or in your personal life. Like, if you just, just don't know. And yeah, hopefully that's one thing that we're passing to, you know, the younger generation now that wasn't passed to us, because people need boundaries.
No, for sure. And there are things that you just don't say. There are questions that you just don't, you know, like, it's just, to me, I think it all boils down to this really, really beautiful word called respect. Just respecting each other, respecting each other's story, respecting each other's background, how they were raised, who they are, and then just respecting them as human beings. I think even boundaries in relationships, I know, like, coming from, you know, the families that my husband and I came from, you know, there were no boundaries in between a husband and a wife. Like, we're going to get into a fight and I'm going to say something to make you mad. You're going to say, and we just going to keep going. There are boundaries. I should be able to say whatever I want to you. You're my wife. You're my husband. No, you can't. You got to have boundaries, and you got to fight fair. And I think, you know, just overall, that's been one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my mental health journey overall.
Let's do that. Let's end with that. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned in your mental health journey? Like, if there's one thing that you share with people all the time, or there's one point that you always want to drive home, it's this. What would that be?
It's not linear. Your path to recovery is not linear. It's not straight path forward. You are going to have ebbs and flows in your journey. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some really bad days. You're going to have some in-between days, and all of those days are okay. It's also okay for you not to be okay. And it's okay for you not to have to bring your A game to the table all the time, especially if you don't feel like it. Like, you don't have to put on a front. Being you by showing up in the world, showing up to your job, showing up at home, at school, whatever, how you can show up, what you can bring to the table is enough.
I love it. Kia Red, where can we find you on Instagram, and not Twitter and not Facebook? So it's just Instagram.
Yes, come follow your girl on Instagram at Akia Red.
Thank you so much for being my guest. We will have to do this again sometime. Like, you were great. And hopefully we'll both be the carefree people the next time we talk.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, once again, I want to thank Akia Red for being my guest today. Make sure you follow me Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. And also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so they, like, automatically download and you don't have to go looking for them, any of that. Anyway, I'm out.